Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. Today we're breaking down Netflix stock before its upcoming earnings release, and we might be seeing if it's actually a value stock at this point after it's fallen so far. But before we get into everything, remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to check out our Zacks.com/promo page for a look at some of our services, portfolios, and more. So normally I do kind of a quick recap of the market, but I'm sure everyone who's paying attention to the market these days knows that it's been the same story for months and months. So we're kind of just going to jump right into Netflix stock because its problems are more localized to it, and that's obviously being suffered alongside the market as well. But we're just going to jump right into kind of what's going on with the company ahead of its second quarter release on Tuesday, July 19th. So Netflix stock first began to tumble alongside many of those growth names back in November. And then it really started to tumble off a cliff as we got into 2022. So the big pullback is really only part of the reason why the streaming stock is down. So it was obviously a TV pioneer, that streaming TV pioneer. It was an early pandemic winner, and it suffered a pull forward in users. It's facing increased competition from the likes of Disney and Amazon and Apple and really every other major media company that's attempting to break away from that linear TV market. And obviously lots of its competition, unfortunately for Netflix, has other revenue streams and is much bigger, diversified companies, so they're able to expand without having to take on maybe as much debt or have their business be impacted, since Netflix's only business is streaming TV. Luckily, the streaming wars, as most of us know, aren't a winner-take-all. Many consumers are paying for multiple services given the vastly different content libraries. And Netflix really is continuing to roll out a diverse array of movies and shows, reality TV in the U.S. and around the globe. It's landed some big deals. You see a lot more Hollywood actors on Netflix movies. There's a lot more big-name directors doing Netflix stuff, and they're even venturing into the mobile gaming or the gaming world. So the company's doing a lot, but there's only so much they can do when they've grown so much for a decade plus. And eventually it was just going to be harder and harder to gain users. And that's been the big problem for the company recently. So if we look back, the company saw its stock fall 20% in one session after its fourth quarter user figures fell way short of estimates, and it provided lower than projected guidance for the first quarter. And then things got really worse, much worse, when it reported those first quarter results of 2022. Its shares tumbled 35% in one day for its worst showing since 2004. And the fall came on the back of the streaming giant reporting its first subscriber loss in over a decade. So the company ended the first 3 months of the year with 200,000 fewer subscribers than it had in the fourth quarter, which was its first, as I mentioned, first loss in over 10 years. Plus, it said at the time that it expected to lose 2 million global subscribers in the current quarter. So that was the big reason for that huge loss. People are wondering what's going on. Are people just going to continue to dump the platform as they reassess how many of these streaming services they want to pay for? Do they love Netflix content library? All these questions. So as I mentioned, yeah, the company's projected to end Q2 with 219.6 million users, down from 21.6 million users at the end of the first quarter. And obviously, as I mentioned, it was always going to be harder to add users, especially in markets like the U.S. that had become really saturated. So after this big fall, though, the company has made some relatively big changes. The company decided it was going to explore an ad-supported tier, and then news broke on July 13th, that it officially partnered with Microsoft to bring a new advertising back option to its users as it tries to just get more people on the platform. So Microsoft is set to supply the technology and sales support for the streaming giant's initiative to boost that revenue with that ad-supported tier that people won't have to pay for. The company also has raised prices for the first time in a while in the last year or so, and they're trying to now charge, they're going to crack down more on charging users who are sharing their accounts with people outside of their households after turning a blind eye for years and years with this massive password sharing. I'm sure people listening are doing something similar to that. I know millions or tons of people who are doing that. So that could be a boost to Netflix if they get people to pay for it. But if they don't, maybe more people just leave the service. Who knows? So lots of things are going on in terms of their user base. So with that in mind, their adjusted earnings grew 85% last year, with its 2021 sales up 19% to about $30 billion. So that was still a really strong year last year, but we're forward-looking in the market. So the company is now expected to see its revenue growth grow just 9% in 2022, and then about 8.5% in 2023. That's obviously, as the numbers get bigger, it's harder to produce that year-over-year sales growth. So it's going to get all the way up to $35 billion in 2023, but a slowdown in growth where it's going to do about 9% and 8.5% revenue growth. And this is after it did, as I mentioned, 19% growth last year, 24% growth in 2020, 28% growth in 2019, 35% growth in 2018. You get the picture. So they've been doing years and years and years worth of 20%+ growth and 30% growth or more. And then in terms of its user growth, Netflix had averaged 24% annual user growth in 2016, in between 2016 and 2020, but as I mentioned, only did 9% last year. So a big slowdown. And then in terms of its earnings growth, it's expected to see its adjusted earnings slide about 5% year over year in 2022, and then pop back in 2023 to get above its 2021 level. So nothing crazy. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to see their sales fall off a cliff, but just that growth is slowing down dramatically on the top and bottom lines. And in terms of its earnings estimate revisions, they're trending obviously in the wrong direction given its subdued guidance. So it's seen all of its estimates actually trend downwards, but it's not fallen off a cliff maybe as much as we would expect. So about 90 days ago, the company was expected to report $10.80 per share in full year earnings, and now they're expected to report $10.72 per share. So just an 8% drop, or 8 cent drop there. So nothing crazy. There's a bigger drop in terms of 2023, but those are now kind of baked into the cake for what Wall Street's expecting. So when we move over to the terms of, at the end, we're going to look at some stock price movement. I think a lot of this is baked in. So maybe if you're a long-term investor, you could possibly think about at one point in the next several months considering taking some nibbles. But at the moment, those downward revisions have it at a Zacks rank number 4 sell. And Wall Street's definitely turned way more mixed on the stock. So they only have 6 strong buys with 20 holds and 5 strong sells. So most people are sitting at that hold, but to see just as many strong buys as there are strong sells is not the best sign. Wall Street's also a little nervous that it's taken on a lot of debt over the last 5 years or so to produce this new original content as it tries to compete against, as I said, Apple, Amazon, and all these big companies that have billions of dollars just to throw at anything they feel like. So in terms of the stock itself, the stock is up about 1,500% in the last 10 years. So that's a massive, massive run. But the last 5 years now, it's only up 15% because it's fallen so far, so fast. So just last November, it was at new highs, but it's now down 75% or more, roughly 75% from those peaks. It did pop Friday morning the last time I looked. So it was up about 5% to around $184 per share, which is around where it was trading in the fall of 2017. So with this huge pullback, it's obviously had its valuation completely recalibrated as well. So the stock is now trading at 15.5 times forward 12-month earnings, which is actually below the S&P 500's average at the moment, about 16.3. At one point in the last decade, it was trading at 500 times forward earnings. So it's almost 100% discount compared to that. So that's a positive sign if you're thinking this is now out of its growth days, Wall Street's crushed the stock. It's trading at a far more reasonable, it's actually trading at a discount to its consumer discretionary market, which is the broader Zacks sector that it's a part of. So it's trading at a discount even to that. So far more reasonable. And then if we look at its PEG ratio, which accounts for growth, it's now trading at 1.1, which is PE divided by growth, which is also a discount compared to that consumer discretionary market. And then if we look at what it's trading at with in terms of forward sales. It's now trading at 2.3 times forward 12-month sales, which is a big discount even to the S&P 500. It's trading at 3.1 times forward 12-month sales. And yeah, at one point in the last 5 years, it was trading at 10 times forward sales. So Wall Street saw that the growth was going to stop in terms of this massive growth, and that's what has happened to the stock. It's now trading at far more reasonable valuation multiples, with the stock, as I said, now down about 70% in 2022 alone. So if you're a longer-term investor and you're considering maybe I can get this one of the hottest stocks of this past decade at a much more reasonable price, it's certainly worth considering. I would say I would not touch it until you see more of these growth names start to have a bounce back. Wall Street's still very nervous. Earnings season could be very volatile. Who really knows at this point what's going to happen? So maybe pay attention to their earnings call, see how Wall Street reacts to their results next Tuesday. And obviously the last couple of times they've reported, it's fallen off a cliff. So unless you're a really, really risky investor who wants to make a splashy move, I would not even consider touching it until after the report. But it's starting to get to valuation levels that are pretty enticing, especially when the business model is still there. It's still going to grow, but it's not this massive growth company that it was before. And obviously those valuation multiples are reflecting just that. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.